firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than...
Welcome to Through the Bible. I'm your host, Steve Schwetz, welcoming you aboard the Bible bus as we set off for another great adventure in God's Word. Now, speaking of an adventure, we're on one at Through the Bible as we see God open doors of opportunity to take His whole Word to the whole world. And Greg Harris, Through the Bible's president, is here to fill us in. So, Greg, by the look on your face, I can tell that you got some good news.
I think I always have good news, though, Steve, because there is so much good news to share. And today we brought in some letters to help us think about the study that we're in, which is in the book of Proverbs.
Yep.
And that's about wisdom and practical wisdom. And one of the things that I love about getting letters from people around the world is we get these little insights. It's almost like we can drop right into their homes and they give us a little picture of how God's word is being lived out in their lives. And so I know you've got the first one in your hand. So I think let's just get sharing.
Okay, this is a great one. This is from Becky in Indianapolis, Indiana. I enjoy using the daily prayer prompts so much. The first thing I do online Monday to Friday is read and pray with Through the Bible. I lead a women's Bible study, and to begin the study each week, I share one prayer prompt from the World Prayer Team. One prayer request from this year really impacted us. A lady in Iran, a nation completely closed to regular ministry, shared how her family had every material want, but her husband became unemployed. God used that trial and through the Bible's broadcast to change their hearts and future. She stated that her family has little materially now, but God's peace and joy. Thank you for this encouragement to pray.
That's so great, Steve. And it always encourages us to know that people who are studying with us are turning around and sharing it with other people.
Right.
And praying and supporting the global work. I mean, it's just a beautiful picture of how God's word is really meeting, the rubber's meeting the road, as Dr.
Yeah.
McGee liked to say.
Yeah.
Now, here's another great picture we have from Christine. A quick note to say thank you for keeping the Bible bus on the road. I am a homeschooling mother, and I know, Steve, you and I were both homeschooling
dads in the past.
Yep. We're now retired, but we really are very appreciative of the work of homeschooling moms and dads. She's a homeschooling mother, and she says, and so have always had a globe on a side table somewhere not being used. After months of listening to your program with my daughter, the lights came on, and I set the globe at the center of our kitchen table where we eat breakfast and take in the word, too.
Hmm.
Now the globe gets used almost daily as we pray our way through the year and learn our geography. The world seems a lot bigger now since we were ignorant of so many of the countries over the globe, and a lot smaller as we realize that we have, quote, family everywhere, whom we have more in common with than not. It is a privilege and a pleasure to support the program.
Wow. That's a great letter to be encouraged. Hopefully other homeschooling moms and dads out there maybe will take that tip and incorporate that globe that's probably sitting in the corner and pray a little bit more effectively with geography.
Yes, I think a lot of homeschooling families have that globe that was sitting in the corner.
Mine stayed in the upstairs bedroom, actually.
Yes, but I love the idea of now it sits in the center, and it's the Word of God and prayer for the world that is really the focus of that kitchen table and that homeschooling effort.
I think we got time for one more. Here's a Spanish listener to our Spanish broadcast. I confess that hearing you again after 20 years was an exciting moment. It was a joyful reunion and one of the best moments of my life. The same voice, the same song. Wow. As a teenager, I listened to you from my home in Puerto Plata in the Dominican Republic. I learned so much from you. God's word gave me direction and set me on a firm path. Now, as I listen 30 years later in Bridgeport, Connecticut, it seems like the distance and time have faded away. God is faithful. What a great gift He has given me. Thank you for faithfully broadcasting A Través de la Biblia.
Very good, Steve.
I love being able to say that. It's really cool. All these years and all over the world. I pray that the Lord blesses you for your perseverance and uses each broadcast to instruct young men and women all over the world, just as it did for me many years ago and continues to do today.
And Steve, letters like this mean so much to me because one of the challenges that we face is continuing to broadcast all over the world. There's a lot of work, a lot of effort, a lot of finances that go into this. And one of the questions that we wrestle with is, should we keep going? Should we keep broadcasting in this language or that language? And when I read a letter like this, it makes me think of how God has given us this unique privilege to be there for generation after generation. We get so many of these letters, and it's always a blessing to know that God is using us to sort of be waiting for that person to come back and study the Word of God with through the Bible. What a privilege.
Yep. If you'd like to join other people on the World Prayer Team, along with myself and Greg, go to ttb.org/pray and sign up today. Greg, why don't you open us in prayer as we begin our study in Proverbs?
Father, thank you for giving us just these tiny but very powerful glimpses of how your Word is changing people's lives. We thank you that it's working in families, it's working in Bible studies, it's working in multi-generational situations. Lord, your Word is so powerful, and we're just so privileged that you let us hold it out to the whole world. And so we pray that you would bless us now and all who are studying with us today, not only in English, but all across this world. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now today, friends, we come back in our study here to the 6th chapter of Proverbs, and we're at verse 24. And we're moving into an area that, tell the truth, we've had it before. And it continues on, actually, into the very next chapter. And the warning now that's given to the young man, again, is the strange woman, the prostitute. That which probably can wreck the life of a young man more than anything else. How many young men today have had their lives absolutely wrecked and ruined because of it? How many marriages are broken up because of it? Hollywood continues to play the same old theme song in all of their plays. It's a triangle, always. Now let me read, beginning here at verse 24. He says here, "To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman." Now notice the language here, "Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids." Now, the sin begins in the heart. Out of the heart proceed the issues of life. "Lust not after her beauty in thine heart." I was back east, and we were on a certain radio station that has what's known as an open-end program. And they ask on the radio, and you answer them right there. One was obviously from a young man. His voice sounded like it, and he sounded very serious, by the way. And he began like this. It was rather shocking there for a few moments. Everybody in the studio really looked rather peculiar. He said to me, "Dr. McGee, Jesus said that if you so much as lust after a woman, to look upon her, to lust after her, that you've committed adultery already in your heart." Now, he says to me, his question was, "Does that mean that if you look at a woman with a miniskirt on?" And may I say, I swallowed twice. I said to him, "Young man, if you don't know what that means and don't know that it applies to a miniskirt, then may I say, then you don't need to worry about it at all. I think you could forget it." But the whole thought that the Lord Jesus gave and the whole thought here is that the sin begins always down in the human heart. "Lust not after her beauty in thine heart." And then he says, "For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life." How many men have been ruined like that? How many today? You and I'd be, I'm sure, surprised if we knew how many office wives there are, and how many are being blackmailed. And, of course, you don't hear about very many of them. I noticed that recently up in San Francisco, a very prominent doctor up there that everyone thought was leading such a very moral, fine life, that I think he is down here in Southern California. He had a wife down here and children by, apparently keeping up two homes. And we had that happen to a minister, by the way. How does all of this begin? Well, it begins just like the Lord says. He knows us. He made us, and he knows the web and woof of our being. And he says, lust not after her beauty in thine heart. Begins there. Now, he says here, he asks a few very pointed questions. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? I think the answer to that is obvious. Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? We got, you know, quite a few fanatics that do that, but it always burns your little tootsies when you walk on those hot coals. Now, he says, so he that goeth in to his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her shall not be innocent. Now, this is something that is quite amazing in Scripture, and it's amazing that this works out in human life, and apparently God entertains thoughts along this line, and it's this. A man that commits adultery is not innocent, and he has no plea whatsoever. Now he goes on to give an illustration. Men do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he's hungry. Now, if a man is hungry and steals, well, sympathy goes to him. A man was arrested in my community here in Southern California, and it's found out he had some little children at home that were hungry. May I say to you, what would you do in a case like that? I'll be very frank and tell you this, that I got a grandson, and if that little fella gets hungry, I'm going to go out and get some food for him. And I'll be honest with you, I'm going to get food for him. If I don't have the money, I'm still going to get food for him. Why? Men do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he's hungry. But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. I'd mortgage my house. I would get the money to pay for it some way. Now he goes on to say, but whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. Again, I draw these illustrations from right around us here in Southern California. Man walked into another man's room the other day and drew a gun, and he shot the man dead. Well, the story came out. The man was exonerated. His home had been wrecked by this man. This is something you don't forgive very easily. Whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. And that is something that will scar his soul for life. Never get beyond that. As a pastor, and I'm sure many other pastors could tell this, I know a wife that her husband had an affair years ago, and he repented of it, came back to her, asked to be forgiven. She forgave him. But I happen to know the home, and I happen to know that it's not a happy home. That's something you don't rub out. You lack understanding. You'll wreck your home. You'll wreck your life. This is something that's wrecked many a man. He will not regard any ransom, neither will he rest content, though thou givest many gifts. Why? Because for jealousy is the rage of a man. Therefore he'll not spare in the day of vengeance. Tremendous thing. Now, chapter 7 goes on and deals actually with this same subject. The whole thought here is beware of a woman of easy morals. Now he says here, my son, keep my words, lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman. Now, let me give here what I believe is the spiritual application of this for Christians today. I think it has a literal interpretation, but it has a spiritual. Now, having said what he did here, listen to verse 5 of chapter 7. That they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement, and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner. And he went the way of her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. She's loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. She's religious, you notice. There's nothing wrong. This is great. Therefore came I forth to meet thee diligently, to seek thy face, and I found thee. In other words, you're the only one. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. For the goodman is not at home. He's gone a long journey. He hath taken a bag of money with him, and will come home at the day appointed. With her much fair speech she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it's for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways, go not astray in her paths, for she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Now that is highly figurative. That language there is strong language indeed. And I've read it all, and I've read it for a purpose. Now in Scripture, there is that which is known as spiritual adultery. And that is when God's people, they left him and went after idols, and they were snared by idolatry, and they were brought into subjection to idolatry, and they departed from the living and true God. They were to be joined to him, but they're no longer. They are playing actually the harlot, but they are being unfaithful and untrue to him. Now the thing that he's saying here is this. There are around us today the cults and the isms and all types of false religion about us today. In Southern California, we are larded with this type of thing. It's on every hand. And this one says, you don't need any longer to follow Christ as you're following him. You don't need to just trust him alone as your Savior. What you need to do is to do this, and what you need to do is to join this group. You would be amazed today at the number of letters that come to me. And some time ago, when we were teaching Galatians, where I made the statement again and again, faith plus nothing equals salvation, that you're absolutely, utterly cast upon Jesus Christ. He's your Savior. He's your Lord. He's your Master. And a great many people, oh, did they write in? And did they say some very ugly things? And among the things they said, you said that the law is something that we should get rid of. I didn't say anything of the kind. What I said is, the law can't save you. The law was never given to save you. And the law is good, but there's something wrong with us. And only Christ can save us. And when we turn from our own efforts, from our own work, from those things that we do today and turn to him, we can be saved. Then there are many wrote, says, you're wrong. You should have told them that they had to be baptized a certain way. You should have told people that they should have joined a certain group, a certain cult, by the way. And one man said, and you should be sure and tell them that they are to keep the law. Even if they just trust Christ, they're to keep the law. My friend, we're joined to Christ, and he says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. We love one another. We're to be filled with the Spirit. We're to witness to the world. Those are his commandments today, and we're joined now to the living Christ. We live on a much higher plane, and the fruits of the Spirit should be in our hearts and our lives. Oh, today, and may I say this carefully, oh, today, that flattering ism and cult made up like a woman of the street, and she is flattering and calling to men and women. Oh, they knock on your door. They hand out tracts. They meet you everywhere. This old gal, she is busy today. I tell you, she's a prostitute. She wants to take you away from Christ, by the way. She wants to have you join something. She wants to bring you into some kind of a system. Oh, my friend, there's that spiritual prostitute that's out on the street today, and I'm sorry to say, on radio and through other means, out trying to lure. And we're told here that it's just like an ox going to the slaughter when you go in. It's just like a fool that needs correction when you go into that sort of thing. In other words, God says you're not being smart when you do that type of thing. Oh, to come to Him and to settle for nothing less than the person of Christ. What a picture that you have here. And this is a picture today, friends, that I'm sure are going to hurt a great many folk. And you want to know something? I'm going to get some more letters, by the way. They're straightening me out, and maybe I need straightening out. But my judgment here is that this is the finest picture of cults and isms that you have. A prostitute, made up, attractive, and offering something to man that will actually destroy him and send him down to hell and take him away from Jesus Christ, the lover of our soul. What a picture. Now we come to chapter 8 here, and we've come to really a break now in this. And here in this chapter, the young man has been examining the literature of the different colleges, and the school of wisdom and the school of fools are bidding for him to make application. And it's wisdom now that really sends out an invitation to him. And there's an urgency and a note of pressure that's put upon the young man now. Will you listen to it? The school bell's going to ring before long, and they want this young man enrolled. You see, he's been lured, enticed to leave the school of wisdom. Listen to this now, chapter 8, verse 1. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? And believe me, if the cults and isms are out today on the street and ringing doorbells, let's let God's people do that also. I'm thankful for the very fine organizations, especially working among the young, that are out ringing doorbells today, out doing personal witness. Why? Because doth not wisdom cry? She ought to be out there. And understanding put forth her voice. She standeth in the top of high places, by the way, in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors. Unto you, O man, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. And that's what this radio's all about. We're trying to send out a call to come to the school of wisdom and to come to wisdom personally. And Christ has been made unto us wisdom. And it's to come to Christ. O ye simple. Are you willing to take that position? Say you're not adequate. Say you are a sinner and that you really don't have intellectual problems. What a joke today to hear these folk. This young fellow came here, I have intellectual problems. You know what he had? He didn't have intellectual problems. He had a sin problem, and he didn't want to give up his sin. My friend, if you want to give up your sin, turn to Christ. You'd be amazed how your intellectual problems will be solved. O ye simple, verse 5, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. What a picture we have here. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They're all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. You see, if it's really wisdom, it's going to be simple, and it'll appeal to to the simple. I'm thankful God did not make the gospel to appeal to folk that have just a high IQ. If he did, many folk would just be left out altogether. But this is a message to the simple, and it really is a simple message. Wisdom is not as complicated as people seem to think that it is. We're going to leave off right there today, and we'll pick up right there tomorrow. Until then, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
We're so glad that you joined us today. If you want to learn more about how you can partner with us in prayer for Through the Bible as we together take the whole word to the whole world, then you need to visit us at ttb.org/pray. Or if we can help you find a resource, maybe to help deepen your personal study of God's word, call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE. Or as always, we'd love to hear from you. You can email us at biblebus@ttb.org. And you can also write to Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109. Canadian listeners, by the way, write to Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C6B1. Or leave a message on our Facebook page. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll be here tomorrow saving a seat on the Bible bus just for you. We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners who are being used by God to take the whole word to the whole world.